Oh, boy.
Philosophy, a hardbound collection of all the life lessons I've learned.
God is not a Gumby action figure that you can shape any way you want.
Phil, have you gone mental?
Act like men, not like girls.
I've got a real clear message for the two of you on that. Stop doing it.
How about we agree to argue until one of us actually refutes the other?
Are you kidding me?
You're actually just going to want me to stop it. This is Too Wretched for Radio with Phil Johnson. Phil, are you prepared to play Stop? That's right. Stop it. I'm going to play a clip, and then when you can contain yourself no longer, you say stop it, and then we let you go. Are you ready?
I love this game. I love this game because if I say stop it, you have to stop it, right?
Well, not forever.
All right.
Just while you talk.
Okay.
We've got two of our favorites who continue. I don't understand why. They grow in popularity. Up first, Mr. Hillsong Carl Lentz. You'll recall, he's the fellow who biffs it at every opportunity. He was on The View. They asked him about abortion. He said, well, we just want to get to know a woman's story and talk to her about stuff. In other words, he just wants to couch everything with such soft undertones that nobody ever gets mad at him. Here's another example of Carl Lentz being interviewed and absolutely biffing it.
Also, I wanted to ask you about pastors who ask for money. Like, we look at, I can't remember his name, one pastor that needed a new jet.
That was Creflo Dollar.
And asked his congregation to help him out with this jet. And I think he put out a GoFundMe. Things like that makes a lot of people say, I don't know about the church.
Sure.
And how do you feel about that when pastors do things like that?
Could I just point something out here?
Yes.
Why did he say his name like that? I don't understand. That seemed like he put on an accent or something.
Yeah, I thought so too, but whatever. Go ahead.
We'll let that. You didn't say stop it yet. So here's Carl responding to
his
accusation. You're not going to hear an answer. You know that. You're going to get chin boogie.
I try not to speak on things that I don't know the ins and the outs. I think every pastor has to do what they feel called to do. Would we do it the same way? Probably not. Mm-hmm. But
you
I would love a jet if you want to help me out. I've seen your website. I know what you're rolling with. You got 97 chains on. You might have
Dallas' argument was different, though.
I know. So here's the thing. It's all relative because one man's, you can never be poor for some people. It's like, well, Creflo shouldn't have a jet. He should fly commercial. Next person's going to say, Creflo shouldn't fly commercial. He should take a Greyhound. Next person's going to say, if you really love Jesus, he would walk because Jesus walked. You have to shout out to Kanye. You have to
hold on, we Phil, I've got to stop this for a moment. You can't see Joey, but I can. His eyes might be permanently stuck in the back of his head. They're rolling so hard. Joey, just do mindfulness. Breathe. All right, Phil. So far, your take on Carl Lentz.
Yeah, I wanted to see how far he was going to go with it, so I didn't stop you, but you know, that sort of argument is schoolboy logic. He takes two extremes. Somewhere in between that extreme, there is a line. I mean, because you could go the other way as well and say, well, a private jet isn't good enough. I've got to have a whole retinue of servants who wait on me as well. And there comes a point where something...
A rocket.
Right, there you go. There comes a point when something is so clearly ostentatious that it is not a good testimony for someone who's supposedly ministering the gospel following Christ. So it's true that there is no, the line may not be clear, and it may be different for different people. It may be that, you know, depending on the culture you're in, the right thing to do would be to walk as opposed to ride around in a gold Rolls Royce or something. But
I think it was going for a reductio ad absurdum, but it was just absurd is what it was.
It was. It was. And the obvious principle in play here is that we're not supposed to be we're not called in following Christ to pursue earthly wealth and material goods. Christ himself was very clear about that. And it doesn't mean we have to live in the most abject poverty. God gives us richly all things to enjoy. But there is a balance between, you know, loving and fawning over the tokens of wealth These guys, many of them, make those things the emblems of their ministry. I mean, that's true with, say, take someone else, Kenneth Copeland, who owns not only multiple airplanes, but a landing strip in his own backyard. And he constantly is, you know, adding to his airplane collection and justifying the fact that he needs to fly private. He can't fly on a commercial airline and all of that. And none of that really comports well with anything Christ taught about self-sacrifice, self-denial. Again, not that we have to live in abject poverty, not that we have to, that we can't enjoy the good things that God has given to us, but to pursue luxury in a way that says to the world, I love the wealth, I love the ostentation, I love the material riches, that ultimately ruins your testimony. And that's the case, really, yeah, with Creflo Dollar, because if you watch him long enough, you'll discover he's all about money. He talks about money all the time. He talks about wealth.
His name's Dollar.
That's right.
I mean, come on. His yeah. name is Dollar.
And it sounds
you
like a
write
joke.
This stuff.
The first time I heard him, I thought, that's a great caricature of a charismatic, you know, prosperity preacher. Name him Dollar.
But he actually was one. Okay, now here's what they would say back to you, Phil. I can be more efficient. If I have to wait in traffic, getting to the airport, I've got to fly and wait in line and the TSA. I can do more ministry work if I can just jump into my private jet and go to the Philippines.
Yeah. Well, if you're financing that with money that you've taken from people on the false promise that if they give their seed money to you, God's going to make them wealthy too, then you're a liar and a false teacher, and you need to be rejected. And that's the case with really all of these prosperity preachers. I hate to sound harsh about
it. It's beside the point. And his argument is like saying, well, look, there's some people who don't want to give poison to kids. Well, then there's going to be some people who are going to say that you shouldn't let your kids play with a baseball bat because some kids have been hit with a bat. And then some people are going to say you can't let your kids ride a bicycle because they fall down. You know, where do you draw the line on this? You'd go, you're missing the point of what the issue is. So his whole argument, you're right, I think you called it schoolboy. It's exactly that. Now, having said that, Phil, he did say something that had at least a grain of truth in it.
I must have missed that.
With just a bunch of glup. Yeah, it was at the very beginning when he said, letting each, I think, local church make decisions about their own finances.
Yeah.
And I might hear of a church in, let's say, California, and I hear about the cost of a building, and I might go, well, that seems like a lot of money. I'm not there. I haven't prayed through the issue. I don't know where money has come from. I don't know if it was gifted. I don't know what the cost of living is there. I don't know a lot of stuff. And so while I might see something long distance that causes me to raise an eyebrow, I need to zip it because each local church, if they are a faithful Orthodox church, they should decide their own finances. You'd agree with that.
Yeah, I would. And there's a sense in which all of us, in the Western world especially, could make do with less than we have or we spend.
That is true.
And we will give account to the Lord for our stewardship, and it is a responsibility that each of us individually and every church collectively, it's incumbent on all of us to strive to be good stewards of what the Lord has given us. But there comes a point where, you know, this obsession with money and the emblems of wealth, it's just a bad testimony. It's one thing to say, well, you know, you could live on a smaller salary than you actually make. You ought to give that to the poor and so on. That can be judgmental. In fact, the person in Scripture who says that is Judas. It's Judas who rebukes Jesus for receiving the worship of the woman who used some costly ointment to anoint his feet. And it was Judas who said, well, that could have been sold and the money given to the poor. And the Scripture says he had a different motive because he kept the purse and he was going to, you know, embezzle the money for himself. But he had this air of holier-than-thou criticism of Jesus, of all people, for accepting worship that he thought was too costly and too, you know, ostentatious. But So it's possible to go too far that direction, too, become hypercritical.
The Roman Catholic Church goes that far.
Yeah.
That they give up everything, denounce everything, live in a monastery. Now, that's spiritual living. And the reformers went, no, 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 no. That's not enjoying the good things that God has made
right.
for
and
us.
Yet, and yet, ironically, at the same time, the Vatican has some of the most vast
right.
collections of wealth and artwork anywhere stored in the Vatican. So, you know, there is something hypocritical about that. And, you know, we all see it and sense it. Let's face it. It's the tendency of all of us to be selfish and materialistic and all of that. So we bristle when somebody critiques our lifestyle or questions what we do as stewards. And there are people who are meddlesome in issues like that where it's none of their business. But when you've got a guy who's on television asking for money every single night from people who can ill afford
kind of a no-brainer, that one, right?
Yeah.
These can be conversations I think we have in the context of our local church, helping one another be good stewards. But if you can't look at what's going on so many of the Christian TV channels and go, no, that's over the line, then you are one who's trying to just play both sides of the issue to make sure that nobody says, ooh, how judgmental of you.
You have to, you know, with your own conscience, your own relationship with God, come to your own conclusions.
I don't mind people having what
they if they don't. If people don't like what Creflo's doing, they don't have to go.
That's right.
That's the thing.
Right.
Like Creflo's doing
okay.
what he's doing. You don't have to give your money. He did.
Hey, if you don't like pornography, you don't have to watch it. Okay.
Force anybody to do that. He said, "Church, I want a jet because I want to fly around the world and preach the gospel.
There it is.
Take it or leave it." And, you know, at the end of the day,
right,
whether
stop.
I agree with him or not is inconsequential.
All righty.
You know, the prosperity preaching and the wallowing in wealth and all that really does annoy me about these prosperity preachers. But the most annoying thing to me is that they don't preach the gospel. They preach that if you give them
right.
if you give them your money, right. then you'll be wealthy, too. That's what they consider the gospel. That's as close to the gospel as most of these guys ever get. So the claim he's making here is just a patently a lie, and that to me is the most offensive thing. I mean, let's be clear about this. There's nothing inherently evil about wealth. In the Bible, you've got Job, who was a very wealthy man, and Scripture says of him that there was no one more righteous than him on the earth. So his wealth wasn't in any way sinful. And he, I don't think he hung on to it all that tightly either. When the Lord, you know, took it from him, he said, "The Lord gives and the Lord's taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." That's the attitude we all ought to have. And again, Scripture does say the Lord gives us richly all things to enjoy. There's nothing wrong with enjoying life and, you know, spending the money you have as a steward for enjoyment or food or whatever. You don't have to literally give away everything you have and live in poverty in order to prove that you're following Christ. But the opposite extreme can be quite sinful, and I think that's what you see in most of these celebrity prosperity preachers. They are so enthralled with wealth that is all they talk about, that's all they pursue, and they get, you know, irritated when someone thinks maybe it's not the best stewardship in the world to be asking widows for their last dollar so that you can buy a private jet.
Honestly, this and just the level of argumentation, a schoolboy is exactly correct. Are you ready for round two of Stop It, Mr. Johnson?
Yeah, it's Stop It, Mr. Friel, isn't it?
This won't take nearly... it's Mr. Friel to you. Okay, here we go. This is a kind of a sermon sizzler. This was put out by Stephen Furtick himself to encourage you to tune into his new sermon series, I Will Be Confident. Brace yourself.
The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. I've got a promise. Turning back is not an option. There's a calling on my life, and I'm not about to drop it. I got this. For this I was chosen. The final word over me was spoken before I was born. I have a purpose that goes far beyond what I want, what I feel,
okay,
what I see.
Just
what
minute.
They say cannot be.
What's the matter? You don't want to enjoy the music anymore? What?
No, you know, he's quite the showman, actually. If you watch his stuff, it's entertaining almost on a humorous level. The lengths to which he will go to show off are are stunning and amusing, and the way he takes himself so seriously. But my question about what you just played was, it seems to me there that he's blending scripture with other stuff. And does he intend this to be a prophecy about himself? Is that what he's saying?
Yeah. It sounds a little bit, first of all, like word faith to me.
Yeah, because, not look, just a little bit. It
God
is.
God has said, I'm a champion. God has said, I'm a conqueror. So that's already been determined. I just need to be confident in that and start living it. Now, what you can't see in this very glitzy put-together package, most of the visual effects, we don't see a lot of Steve, and we see a lot of athletes lifting weights, running, sweating. So it seems like what he's saying is you're going to be in really good shape if you're a Christian.
With God, all things are possible. And when my desire aligns with the divine, I am unstoppable.
Okay, stop.
In this, I will be...
Not ready.
Just to prove he's not unstoppable, I want you to stop him. But, the way he rips those verses out of context is maddening. With God, all things are possible. Jesus is the one who said that in response to a question from the apostles who said, after Jesus said, it's very hard for a rich man to be saved, harder than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And then the disciples' response was, well, who then can be saved? And Jesus' response, which he left out the first half of it, was, with men, it's impossible. Not just rich men, but with humans, it's impossible. You cannot save yourself. But with God, all things are possible. He's talking specifically about salvation, but he's saying that God can do what we cannot do. He's not saying that with God you can do anything you want to do, and that's how Stephen Furtick seems to be applying that verse.
Phil. Philippians 4:13. Clearly, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens
Again,
us.
Again, that
all
is.
Right, wait a second. Wait.
That's.
I know. Let me play more of this. I got a funny feeling Philippians 4:13 might make a guest appearance. You want to put some money on this one?
No, I'm pretty sure you're right. I wouldn't dispute you.
Of course the climb is hard. I'm not surprised. The dream is difficult by design to make sure I rely on his might, not mine. His plan, not mine. His hand, not mine. My assignment was conceived in his heart, his mind. And the blessing ahead will always be greater than the battle behind. So this is not the time to compromise or entertain 1,000 lies and 1,000,000 reasons why I can't, or it won't, or it's not, or I'll never. I've heard it before, so shut up, devil. God didn't say he'd make it easy. He said he'd make me better, make me strong, and give me grace to carry on. No matter what the opposition, I only need one weapon. I have the faith to overcome. In this, I will be confident.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
I can see that you're a little agitated there, Phil.
Yeah, really agitated.
You know what? This is semantic range. That's what he's doing with this. He's taking some Bible verses, taking the semantic range, picking the one that has the most contemporary force behind it. You know, instead of saying that Christ sanctifies us, he makes us better. He makes us stronger. He makes me do things. No, that's not the way that the word works.
And that's what makes this so misleading. Because he started with, you know, pictures of athletes and people who are essentially pursuing narcissistic goals. And he hasn't clarified, what is the goal here? What is it that I'm trying to do that I need to? He says a lot of the right things, like it's in his power, I need to use his strength, et cetera, et cetera. But he's still talking about fulfilling my goals for myself. He's not talking about pursuing Christ-likeness or seeking sanctification or you know, following after that holiness without which no one will see the Lord. His every implication, let's say, of the way he lives his life and the way they've constructed this video and the way he's put together this speech, every indication is that he's talking about personal goals for self-betterment in the realm of, you know, your own physical, you know, whatever, looks, your own material prosperity and all that. He doesn't seem to see beyond this world, which really
like,
corrupts.
You know, Christ-likeness would be kind of interesting. You know, yeah. Doing the works that God has prepared for us. I kind of heard that in there.
Yeah, and see, that's
but
part
used
of the
in a way that it's all about earthly gain.
Right. And part of the problem is he's selectively quoting scripture, but I haven't actually heard him. I'd have to listen again, you know, with a closer ear maybe, but let's just say Christ is not the center of what he's talking about here. I haven't heard him mention Christ in any way that points people to Christ. He's suggesting that people can use somehow the power of God, this ethereal force that's out there that he wants to teach them how to harness. They can somehow use that to reach their own goals. He's not talking anything about what Christ talked about, self-denial and taking up your cross and following him. This is not about Christian discipleship. This is about this is basically a self-help lecture that is cloaked in some biblical terms, mingled with his own poetry. And I, as I was listening to that, I thought, you know, he'd have been a pretty good he could have had a great career writing greeting card sentiments, because that's how a lot of this comes out.
Look, he ain't no Helen Steiner Rice, but it seems to me, Phil, with this little presentation here, it sounds a lot, in a sense, like Joel Osteen. Joel Osteen is a bit word faith, but I've always thought of Joel Osteen as work faith, do faith, do this, and then God will do that for you.
Yeah.
That's also what I'm hearing in this. So believe right, think right, speak right, live right, and you'll be able to do great things because God will do it for you. It's a quid pro quo system.
Yeah, in fact, I think the comparison to Joel Osteen is an appropriate one here. Both of them sound like what they've got here is a hybrid of word faith, prosperity doctrine, and Norman Vincent Peale style positive thinking.
Yep.
This is all about positive thinking. He's trying to, it's like the speech a coach gives at halftime in the locker room. He's trying to pump you up.
And it's working with the music. Now, normally, Phil, I would say we've been at this now for 22 minutes. Let's just call it a day. But I have got to hear if he uses, "For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me."
Okay, go ahead.
Are you ready?
Yep.
Here we go.
Too close to quit, and the stakes are too great for me to hesitate.
He does it.
So
I'm
bummed.
Whatever
it costs, whatever it takes, I keep coming. I show up, take the shot with my hands shaking.
He's getting further away from Scripture.
Fear is real, but it won't break me. God will not fail me, nor forsake me. I'll keep coming. I'll step to the battle like it's already won, like I got the enemy on the run. I speak and believe. Like
there it is right there. I speak and believe. You're right.
It's already done. In this, I will be confident. He made me a promise. He gave me a calling. I know that he's able to keep me from falling. I focus my hope. My excuses are gone. The moment to prove the power of God has come. He made me a promise. He gave me a calling. I know that he's able to keep me from falling. I focus my hope. The past is gone. The moment to prove the power of God has come. In this I will be confident. The time is now. The odds are long. The haters are loud. The pressure is on. The devil, you mess with the wrong one. I got my sling. I got my stone. And in the name of my God,
come on.
I will overcome. In this I will be confident.
Yeah, he didn't use
it. Okay, you can't see it, but it's actually on the screen. There you have it. That is exactly what he... I'm so disappointed that he couldn't do all things through Christ who strengthens him. That's exactly what the... Speak it, believe it, feel it, and it's going to happen for you. This is Norman Vincent Peale and Word Faith. It's called Stephen Furtick.
Philosophy, a hardbound collection of all the life lessons I've learned.
God is not a Gumby action figure that you can shape any way you want.
Phil, have you gone mental?
Act like men, not like girls.
I've got a real clear message for the two of you on that. Stop doing it.
How about we agree to argue until one of us actually refutes the other?
Are you kidding me?